Hello and welcome to Soul Sisters, the bonus episode. We are so excited to be here with you today. So the bonus episodes, the conversations we have when we press stop when we're recording the main episode. So we're so happy to be here with you today. Today we're talking about Brooklyn Beckham, and today we're coming to you with thanks to Sanex. We've been loving the Sanex Skin Therapy Shower Gel lately. It comes in three different options depending on what your skin needs. We have anti-itchiness and anti-irritation. Designed for itchy skin, it contains omega-3 and reduces irritation in just 3 days of use. Anti-dryness, designed for dry skin and contains hyaluronic acid, known for its moisturizing power. And smooth skin texture, suitable for combination to oily skin and contains niacinamide, known to help reduce imperfections. So whichever skin therapy shower gel you choose, you're in great hands. Why? Because it's developed with dermatologists. It has patented amino acid complex, which preserves your skin's barrier, helps support your skin's natural defense, and delivers a 24-hour hydration feel, because we are all about protecting our skin health in 2026. So welcome to the bonus episode. And today we felt compelled to talk about the Pels Beckhams, or the Beckham Pels, Brooklyn and his wife Nicola, and the latest in the Beckhams family drama, which has reared its head again this week.
And the reason it's reared its head, so if we start with what's happened this week and we'll work our way backwards, maybe back into the murky, murky days of January 2026 when this all began. So this week, Brooklyn Beckham, who said he was at pains to say he wanted privacy, has appeared in a DoorDash ad in the States for the World Cup. DoorDash being the delivery service. He's sitting on his couch. He's holding two tickets to the World Cup. And he's like, you may be wondering why I'm watching the World Cup at home. And then he's like, it's a long story. And he throws the tickets away. So
first of all, can I just say, I wish that I had a video of my face when, you know, when your face is catching up with what you're seeing. So like you're watching something and you're like, what? Is this what? I wish I had that video of you and that video of me.
We talked about Gwyneth Paltrow and, you know, stepping into advertisements she shouldn't last week on the main episode. This week, or in our bonus, now we're giving Brooklyn Beckham the floor. He was obviously offered a huge amount of money. And if we think about it, in the same week as his father got a star on the Walk of Fame, Tom Cruise was there, the rest of the family were there, keeping up appearances. Lots of people said David Beckham shouldn't have a star on the Walk of Fame. But anyway, it doesn't matter because the World Cup's over in America and everyone's happy. And then so Brooklyn's like, well, whatever you can do, I can also have a crack at.
And never mind my face and your face. What was David Beckham's face or Victoria's face? So basically what he's implying in the ad is that he's watching it from home because he's basically an orphan now, and the Beckhams, he wouldn't be watching it with his dad, who is the sounds like you're weaned.
Sorry, just poured some coffee.
Sorry. You are like so British.
You're right. Look at me. I've even got
what is this?
My milk is in.
Is that a milk jug? Are you insane? You have a milk jug.
I have a cafetiere on a tray.
A tray and a milk jug. Yeah. Wow. That's lovely. That's like romanticizing your life.
That's exactly why I did it this morning. I was like, I'm talking to one of my besties and I'm going to have a cup of coffee and we're going to talk about the state of somebody else's family for once.
Oh my God. Can I just say, like, just to pause there, like you can create little 5-star moments for your life, can't you?
I would say, and it's very much thanks to this podcast, that I have been able to create little 5-star moments for myself in my week. And yes, this is one of them.
Fab. So do you think David Beckham would have seen that ad before it's published? Are they watching this stuff in real time like we are?
Yeah, I guess. I guess they are. If he's completely estranged, nobody's sending sending the Beckhams that. But what they would have maybe is lots of ears to the ground. So, you know, it may have got to them that Brooklyn had something coming. So there's two things at play here in my mind. One is, if they have a sense of humour around this, they're going to be like, well, he's a chip off the old block. That's pretty funny. If they're not having a sense of humour about it, I think David Beckham would actually be quite hurt by that.
Yeah, like I think the word out of the Daily Mail was like devastated, and I would say the Beckhams are talking to the Daily Mail.
You would?
100%.
I mean, look, it's pretty unsavoury. It's pretty unsavoury.
First of all, I don't know if you noticed, and this is like a funny thing from the DoorDash. So when Brooklyn Beckham, and he's had many careers over the years, so he's got this hot sauce in America. He's like a great chef by all accounts. He went into photography at one point and he released this book of photographs, and he got absolutely rinsed for this photo he took of an elephant, which is... if you can imagine a photo of an elephant and then imagine the worst ever photo taken of an elephant, he took the photo and put it in his book, and everyone was just absolutely slagging him about this photo. Did you notice in the DoorDash ad, there is that photo is huge and printed out on his wall?
Is it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, I want to also just mention the name of that book. Am I right in saying the name of that book was What I See?
Do you think that like they'll eventually all get back together and they'll be like, you little shit, Brooklyn, when you did that ad, you absolutely put us through the ringer?
I do, actually. Yeah, I do.
I hope so.
Yeah.
What was your take on the ad itself?
I was aghast. I didn't think that it's still, what are we, 6 months after his statement? You know, those with a critical eye could say he is doing exactly the opposite of what he asked for. But also, you know, for a man who reinvents himself on the regular, he obviously got an offer he couldn't refuse. And, you know, one of the things that people criticize the Beckhams for, and he was critical of his parents of, was establishing brands for each of the kids early on when they were born. Now, even though that feels a bit icky, the rest is entertainment. We're talking about it in their episode from January. And they were saying, look, when you're in the public eye, whatever business you're in, you are going to have the knowledge and the experience to know that it's important to give your kids the right start in whatever they're going to do. So if you're in the public eye and you're a professional celebrity, you're going to say, well, look, we're going to make sure that these kids, if they choose to do so, will have the brand locked off and legally, you know, protected. Mm. I guess, as you mentioned with Brooklyn, I can still remember him, actually. That's imprinted in my mind in the early noughties. He was born in 99. So like you say, the little spiky hair, and he's got dad's shirt on from Man United. He grew up in Spain. He grew up in Manchester. He grew up in LA. So he, I suppose, of all of the kids, because the next guy wasn't born until 2002, he was the one who actually was trotted around the most out of them all. And I think, you know, as the eldest, you can see he's tired of it. And I think, if I can just say one thing in his defense, I think what he's tired of, and my suspicion of what he's tired of, is the charade.
So what I took from it is he's tired of, maybe they're all killing each other behind the scenes and then they show up on the red carpet and it's like, we are perfect.
Yes. Exactly.
But in a way, the Beckham documentary, when they alluded to the Rebecca Lewis affair and him going through a really tough time at that point and pulling away from Victoria, like that was really refreshing to me. That felt like they were being real. And I think, you know, we see them dancing around. They let us behind the curtain. But obviously the frustration from Brooklyn is that's not even the real story.
Exactly. Exactly. So what he probably is rebelling against is this. And it's you know, all of the anybody who's done these big documentaries lately can be accused of whitewashing their lives. Gordon, you know, Gordon Ramsay's documentary was basically an advertorial. Simon Cowell, the same thing. So, you know, when you are probably in behind the scenes, a member of this family, you know that things are very different. Shall we go back and talk about when this all blew up first? So when did Brooklyn marry Nicola Pels?
Yeah, so they married in 2022 in Florida on her dad's estate.
I can recall hearing murmurings at the time that there was a wedding planner who was working for them and I think just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And so she was shafted and removed from the scenario. And then things started to leak, like Nicola was going to wear a Victoria Beckham dress and then decided against it. And there was little whisperings of, murmurings of a fallout between Nicola and Victoria.
And let's not forget that Brooklyn was like 23 when he got married. Mm. So there had to be an element of, I suppose, your parents trying to protect you getting into a marriage, especially when you're marrying into, you know, this family of an absolute mogul. So let's just talk about Nicola Pels's dad for a second, right? His name is Nelson Pels. He sounds like a baller, doesn't he?
He does. You wouldn't. He's very MAGA.
Yes. They started in the family food business. So he doesn't come from old money. They're new money like the Beckhams too. So his grandfather founded a food distribution company. And after dropping out of college, he joined the business as a truck driver. And then he helped transform the business from a business that did well, like a modest wholesaler, into a huge frozen distribution company. Then he went on to become involved in building and buying companies. So he's invested and influenced companies like Wendy's, Heinz, Cadbury's, Oreo, Procter & Gamble, Disney, and now he's reportedly worth $1.6 billion.
And I suppose from the Beckhams' point of view, there's nobody really that outshines them on this side of the pond. But when they go to America, it's a whole different ball game. And yeah, Nelson Pels is a big deal. And as much as the Beckhams like to control their own narrative and their brand, sounds like the Pels are exactly the same. So as soon as Brooklyn became involved with them, it was very much their way or the highway.
Yeah, and Nicola's so close to her family. So I presume, like you said, tension started arising around the time of the wedding. It was, I'm sure, Nicola's way or the highway. And the Beckhams were required to just take a seat and shut up.
Hmm. So DJ Fat Tony went on this morning after everything blew up. He had been at the wedding on the Beckhams' invite. He was estranged from his father for years, so he felt like he wanted to come out in support of the Beckhams. He said Mark Antony, who was singing at the wedding and was also emceeing, was up on stage, called Brooklyn up, and then said, "And can I please call the most beautiful woman in the room up as well?" Victoria walks up, and apparently at that point, Nicola legs it. Massively insulted at her own wedding.
What was Mark Antony thinking? I actually blame him on this whole thing.
He's really good mates with the Beckhams, you see. And see, this is the thing about weddings, right? Especially weddings where maybe big families, wealthy families are it's an event as much for them as it is for the bride and groom. So if they've put a lot of money and time and effort into this, this is like almost the kind of their day. And I'm sure Mark Antony was like, you know, probably in jest, but not really understanding the gravity, perhaps, of the fallout behind the scenes.
And let's talk about, I mean, the Beckham's friends, like Mark Antony, Eva Longoria, Tom Cruise. Like, what do you think Tom Cruise and David Beckham, do you think they have the crack?
Not in the conventional sense of crack. You know, obviously Tom Cruise is a very unique individual. And I think here's my take on Tom Cruise and Beckham. They like the fact that both of them are friends with the other. Mm. Each of them gives them a bit, the other, some kudos and some cool. So, you know, say the fact that Tom Cruise was there to celebrate David Beckham's Walk of Fame star. That's just another moment for them to be like, ooh, basking in each other's glory.
Yeah. And did Tom Cruise bungee jump down to it?
He didn't actually on this occasion, sadly.
I can't imagine him arriving anywhere in a normal way.
He was suited and booted, as was. I actually thought David Beckham looked a bit uncomfortable. You know, when you have to get down on your knees and put your hand on the star? Mm. I just thought, yeah, I think those pictures maybe are always awkward, but I think David looked a little awkward. He was also talking, and I was a little bit like slightly judgmental on this part. He was saying, you know, I'm just an East End boy. I'm just a kid from the East End of London, you know, who loved football. And I always loved TV shows from America. I never in my wildest dreams thought that this would happen. And I don't know, I think that line at this point is a bit dated.
Do you think that's because Brooklyn has planted a seed with you? Now, the thing about David Beckham is he still goes back to the local cafe in London with his mum and has pie and peas. Like, he is very connected, I think, to where he came from. So has Brooklyn now, with this statement and everything he's come out to say, has he planted this little seed of doubt in us that's questioning now how the Beckhams show up everywhere they go?
I suppose my doubt started back when there was emails leaked about David getting his knighthood. And when the Queen died, you know, he was there out queuing, campaigning/queuing for, you know, with the general public. I don't think David Beckham's a bad guy. Every time I kind of step out and criticise the Beckhams, I always just think, but why are you bothering? Like, let them do what they're doing. I don't know how much David is still a boy from the East End of London, having lived in London for 11 years. I just think he's fabulously wealthy and spends most of his time in West London. But, you know, I do think that their families are very close. And I'm sure, you know who I feel sorry for? I feel for Harper and I feel for the grandparents.
Yeah. Let's talk about Harper. And that's also why I suppose this has all come up this week again, is after David got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Harper was pictured driving to, or getting a lift to, Brooklyn's house because she was in the same outfit, knocking on the door and leaving just a couple of minutes later. Now, hours later, Brooklyn tagged himself in a photo in New York, seemingly to say, like, I wasn't there. I don't know if he would turn Harper away. It seems like they all absolutely adore that little girl, and she's pure joy, isn't she? She's so gorgeous. What did you think of that?
Oh, yeah, because the other brothers have been, you know, on social media, kind of writing suggestive posts and tags and stuff in their captions. So I think they're annoyed Like they're
they're riling the whole thing up a little bit, I think.
Yeah, they are. They're annoyed with him, whereas probably poor Harper's just like, this is just unnecessary.
So you do you think Sandy and Harper was a stunt?
Ooh, never even considered it. What do you think as Brand Beckham?
Well, as a person who believed Lee Andrews was kidnapped, I'm going to say, no, I don't think it was a stunt. As someone who believes that David Beckham is still an East London boy, I'm going to say, I don't think it was a stunt.
At this point, what do you think the future is for them? Like, if you were Victoria Beckham now, you're the mum of two girls. If you were in her position, what are you thinking? What are you planning?
So, well, I'm going to relate it to my family. So my siblings and my parents, Nene and Dew. I have fallen out with my brothers before. And we have always resolved our issues, thank God. But when we get back together and we heal and we become one again, we are finally able to take the mick out of each other in the way we may have reacted in an argument. And that's probably why I'm saying, do you think in years to come when they're sitting around the table, are they going to slag Brooklyn for asking for privacy on the world stage and then using the controversy in an ad for DoorDash a mere 6 months later, which would have had to have been filmed probably 2 months ago. So I would hope that they're so close that they can fall out in this way and then repair. What's it called? Fracture repair. It is unfortunate that Brooklyn has gone to the lengths that he has and the things that he has said about Victoria, which will remain forever. Like, my mom was dancing inappropriately on me. Like, where do you go from there? Like, that's going to be something that's, I think, with you forever. That's the kind of feels like the unfixable things. But hopefully the little stupid things like a job or an ad, they can laugh about someday.
Yeah, I think you're right. How, out of interest, when you fell out with your brothers, did either of you go directly to each other to resolve it? Or did somebody else, a third party, come in and facilitate the reconciliation?
Mick is a really good facilitator. Like, that's what he does. Like, so he's really good at going into the person who's angry and calming them down. Like, we're all quite fiery. Like, we're a real, like, Italian family. Like, there's no quiet dinners in our house. We're all sitting around shouting at each other, but, like, in a lovely, loving way. Mick is really good. But, like, when I fall out with Mick, for example, like, we're really good at talking it through. Like, he'll say, well, you said this and this made me feel like this. Whereas me and Sam, it's an 11-year age difference between myself and Sam. We just kind of get on with this a little bit. You know, I think you've different ways to repair with each family member in a way that kind of is different. And I think I spoke to Jerry Hussey on Better Days about, we did an episode actually on a family feud, which I'll link in the show notes. But interestingly, Jerry says the person you fight with the most in your family is usually the one you get on with best. Because you're able to say, you don't just sweep things under the rug, you call them out on things. You're able to say, bah, 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 and then heal.
Yes.
So I thought that was really interesting that he said the person you fight with the most is actually probably the one you're closest to.
Yeah, I suppose me and my dad would have had a lot of argy-bargy in years gone by, probably in my teens, when I was just, my formative years were just chaos for me, I think, emotionally. And I'm fiery red. He's also a red. And yeah, we're most like each other. We're of each other. You know, my mum and my sister are very similar. Me and my dad are very similar. So that's probably why we came to blows. But I would say one of the things that I have really come to rely on in when I fall out with people in my family or close, I will very quickly come back and say, I didn't want the conversation to go that way. That wasn't my intention. I'm aware you're angry. I am too. But I just want to say, I'm ready to talk, or, you know, let's put this behind us whenever you're ready. And I think sending out a little olive branch early doors to say, I know we can't talk now, it's too fresh, but whenever you're ready, pays massive dividends, because people can't come back at you when you've raised your white flag.
Yeah.
So within the Beckham dynamic, it will be, and look, sadly, when things happen, when bad things happen, that's when families generally go, okay, putting down the swords, like we have to come together because this is a time of tragedy or a time of need. So maybe down the line when maybe like if a grandparent passes or something happens in the family, that's when a reconciliation can happen.
It's funny because now that I'm thinking of it, like I think when there is a fallout between siblings, your parents, or well, like my parents anyway, you know, when there's a forest fire and the helicopters go over and they're just pouring water on the situation, mm-hmm. like that's what my parents do. So like my mum is really like, doesn't want anything to become more inflamed than it is. And I think that is what Victoria and David are trying to do. They're really focused, you know, on saying we love our children. We love all of our four children. They've never spoken out publicly against Brooklyn or Nicola. And I think actually if you sat them all down in a room, the issues are probably between the brothers and the mother's getting blamed.
Yes. Yeah.
It's easier to point the finger at the person maybe that the head of the family that's trying to kind of make everything look okay, maybe is ignoring the elephant in the room, excuse the pun, and is trying to just put on a brave face or put their best foot forward. And then that person is often blamed, aren't they?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And I think you're right. I think the most damaging piece that will be hard for Brooklyn and Victoria to come back on is the level of humiliation she may have felt when he called her out at the wedding. You know, that's not fair. I do think that's quite uncool and uncouth to say something like that. And I think there's no doubt there's manipulation from the Pels side on that. And, you know, there's a level of competition perhaps between Nicola and Victoria, and you know, a wedding is a knees up affair. We as Irish people, you know, what goes on in a wedding, as you know, of Down and Leash, stays at the wedding. Like the fun, the frivolity, the ties on the heads, the dance floor all night. Like that's, you know, you're it's making sacred. Memories. Yeah, it's sacred. It is. And so I think that will be a cut that'll be very difficult, a wound for them to heal. But here, bottom line is, as parents, and you know, I don't speak from experience here, but I am a child of my mother and father. Everybody makes mistakes, always, you know. And whether it blows up into something bigger or it's something that you just deal with yourself, everybody has the scars of being parented and then parenting. Nobody gets it right.
So do you think that when he becomes, imagine like having been so close to your family, and for family is number one for all of them, it seems. And for there to be a grandchild that doesn't have a relationship with Victoria and David, like that's got to be the loneliest place that Brooklyn could ever be. Like I look at him now in this Hollywood machine and I'm like, even you could be surrounded by, as we well know, loads of people and feel lonely he has to feel that, right?
Definitely. And I think my view on it is that the Pels family just, you know, they're billionaires and they just got in there and they got in his head. She got in his head and said, you are part of this family now and you don't need your own family. But I think certainly with the birth of a baby, that could change his perspective.
I think what you said about a tragedy bringing them back together is unfortunately probably the only thing. Like, it's like, look at the One Direction boys.
Yeah.
You know, what did it take for Zayn to get into a room with the lads? Like the death of Liam Payne. And I think it probably will be a grandparent or someone close that has to die in order for a reason for them to all get back in the room. But I really hope it like doesn't come to that, you know?
Yeah, big time.
If you were Victoria Beckham, what would you do?
I was just thinking this as you were speaking there, and I think I would be knocking on his door.
Would you?
Yeah. And if I didn't feel ready to knock on his door, I would go to therapy and I would sit down and I would get my anger, my frustration, my sadness out. And then I would go and knock on his door.
What do you think of like when there's a fallout, just showing up and saying sorry?
Huge. Massive.
Mm.
Taking accountability. I honestly feel taking accountability in life is a superpower. And yeah, it can end wars.
But why, you know, don't we want to say it?
Ego. Too proud. Too angry. Holding on to the negative emotions. So like resentment. You know, it's her fault. It's not my fault. It's his fault. Not my fault. And you know, so if you are focusing on that sort of the negative emotions of the whole thing and feeling that you've been aggrieved, you've been wronged, that's what's fueling you. And I come back to that great line that Dennis used to tell me all the time. And he'd say to me, Claire, holding on to anger or resentment for somebody else is like drinking poison and waiting for your enemy to die.
Yeah.
So you're suffering, you're killing yourself, you're doing untold damage to yourself physically and emotionally, you know, holding this feud in your heart. If you can go and do whatever it takes, you know, you've so many options. Is it somatic healing? Is it talk therapy? Whatever it is you need to do to shed that anger and that sadness and that resentment, and then just say, you know what, life, we have no idea what life has around the corner. And the worst thing to carry into your older age is regret. So I would say, you know, I'd love to hear that either David or Victoria had just gone to his home, knocked on the door and said, I'm not leaving until we speak.
Very powerful. And I think Jerry's advice was the same. Just go, show up and have a real heart to heart and listen. You don't need to speak. Sometimes the best thing to do is just listen to the other person. So as I said, I will link that episode in the show notes. Actually, we did an episode about Gordon Ramsay, kind of in similar to this. I'll link that too. And last week's episode about Liam Payne and the One Direction boys. So I'll link that too. Claire, amazing to catch up with you on the bonus. Thanks for all the insights as always. And we will be back. I'm off to Cornwall. You have your second meditation gathering.
Yes. If anybody is keen to come along on Sunday and you don't have any plans, please just drop me a little DM and you can come and see us in Stillorgan. We're at Kilmacud Croaks for an hour of meditation.
Fabulous. Best of luck with that, and I'll see you on the flip side.